basis, normally at the beginning of the calendar year, to advise the planning committee on the performance of the planning development management over the last year, or over the last 2 years, because I think it's really important to keep members up to speed with how the department is operating in terms of performance and workloads and other issues. So really just to talk sort of fairly briefly on the report. You'll probably heard us talk about targets from the government in terms of how we proceed with the application. So successive governments have sought to streamline our planning process by setting targets nationally, and historically that's been for the speed of applications. And perhaps more recently, the government's been focusing their energy on identifying poor performers in terms of local government and possibly designating them as underperformers and then intervening. So historically, we had a designation criteria relating to the speed of applications, and the government divided it into three different categories. That's major applications, which are 10 houses or 10 residential units in fact, or more, or a thousand square metres of new floor space. And minor applications are up to 9 units, so it's obviously less than major, and then up to 990 square metres of new floor space. And then the other category are mainly household applications. So we have to deal with major applications within 13 weeks. The target is 60% at the moment, and minor applications and others we have to deal within 8 weeks. That's what we've received. And the target from government to that is 65% for minors and 80% for others. So on the page 58 of table one, we've set out the targets of the government for the last year ending in December, and what we've met in terms of majors, minors and others. And you can see from the percentage on target that we've exceeded all targets. So, you know, that's good. But that's not all we do, because in addition we dealt with other applications that don't fall within those categories, another 566. That made a total of 1,532 decisions. So that all the other types of applications we're looking at are set out in table two. So we look at tree applications, we look at certificates of lawfulness and existing and proposed, and county applications. All those ones are part of our workload, but they don't fall within the statistics. In addition to that, we deal with obviously planning appeals. We report planning appeals to you most months in the committee report. We deal with planning enforcement appeals. And both of those decisions within the last couple of years, are attached to Appendix 2 and 3 of the report. I don't intend to go through the appeal decisions, just to use the statistics for tonight. We've also had over 350 plan inquiries, 365 enforcement cases, and then a huge number of also FOI cases. So that's all part of our workload. So the government introduced in 2013 the designation regime, which they initially measured performance on the speed and quality of major decisions over a 2 year period. But moving on 3 years, in 2016 they changed the designation regime, so it also included non-major applications as well. So. And they also raised the bar on the threshold, so there was a higher amount of petrol to deal with. And also, they applied it retrospectively, so we had to fill the statistics when we'd already done the work. So what they tend to look at now as the major statistics are speed of major applications, speed of non-major applications, quality of major applications, and quality of non-major applications. Now, speed of determining an application is whether they're determined within 8 weeks or 13 weeks of receipt. The quality one is a maximum target, and that's the percentage of appeals that are overturned and allowed on appeal as a percentage of the total application we have. So if you look on page 60 at table 3, the table sets out the government's threshold and assessment period for all those four categories. So if you look at the last two columns, you'll see that's the performance for the lot for this for 2019 effectively, so the end of last year. But it deals with the 2 years before that. So you can see the figures of our performance in that year are in red at the last column, and we've met the targets which are in the column next to it. So the speed of majors are 96%, the speed of non-majors is 93%. And then the quality, which should be as low as possible, because that indicates that the number of appeals that have been allowed are low, is 3.7% for major development and 0.6% for non-major, and we can't exceed 10% on those. So, going into the appeal decisions, as I mentioned, we've got them in detail in the committee report. We did have, over the last 2 years, we did have 72 appeal decisions, of which 64 were planning appeals and 8 enforcement appeals. And of those 64 planning appeals, 48 were dismissed or had a split decision, and 6 of them, 6 out of 8 of the planning enforcement appeals were also dismissed. So that's a pretty good standard, and that compares favourably with other sort of sub districts. I've set out in table 4 a number of overturns. In the last 3 years, there have been 9 overturns by committee, of which 7 went to appeal. One was subsequently withdrawn, so that didn't get an appeal decision, and one was dismissed on appeal. So the details of that are set out in table 4. That provides sort of useful background to previous committee decisions. So really just wanted to conclude on the implications and the risks and the actions for Spelthorn. And I've already said that we've met the targets for major and non-major development, so that's good, but we're constantly monitoring our performance and literally on a sort of daily and weekly basis. The table that is the statistic which is particularly important for us is the quality of major developments. So the quality of the number of applications that are major, which again is 10 houses, 10 dwellings or more, or over 1,000 square metres, which are refused and allowed on appeal. Because there is a very real risk, because we don't have a huge number of major applications, that there's a real risk in terms of performance exceeding the new threshold. So going back to the last 2 years, we had a total of 54 major applications that we determined. Of those 54, we had 4 planning appeals which went to decision, and 2 of those planning appeals were allowed. So 2 out of 54 equates to the 3.7%. But if we'd only had a further 3 appeals that had been refused and dismissed, allowed on appeal, that would take us really close to the 10% figure, to 9.3%. So that's why we have to continuously monitor the designation threat that we have by government. Kelly and Matthew will know that I'm constantly on the case, and particularly in terms of major applications and in terms of dealing with them. So obviously, taking that into account, if we refuse an application, we've made it clear in previous committees and training sessions that we have to refuse them on clear grounds, and otherwise we do have a risk of designation, grounds that we can defend and appeal. Also in the equation is the need, obviously, to have an upstate plan. At the moment, so we've got a 2008 local plan, as you all know. We've just finished the consultation. 2009 local plan, Vicky Barton. We've just gone through the consultation period, what's known as the regulation consultation that's recently closed. And then the consultation publication, which is the regulation 19, will take place in due course. So obviously we need to have an off-site plan because that's important in terms of our decision making and the guidance in the MPPF. So we do closely monitor committee decisions, committee overturns, although obviously from the table that I mentioned, the numbers are relatively small. We do work in a culture in this in our department of continuous performance. We had a two-week audit back in May from an external auditor, and we were judged as effective in terms of our processes and procedures, which is the highest level that the audit gives. That's good in terms of our performance, in terms of our procedures in-house. We're also going for a fundamental change in our application software so that we're working towards an agile working way of working, and that's been very much ongoing for the last 6 months. In fact, having an advisor coming in tomorrow to help us more, and we've got further sessions at the end of the month. So that's really good, and that will really help us towards getting rid of the paper. And obviously, just finally, really to wrap up, it's always been essential for members to come to take training. There's been 13 training sessions now. I mentioned during the report, but obviously there was one yesterday, so we now have 13. If there's any particular training sessions or subjects that you feel you would like to have training on, then obviously approach myself, but I'll be happy to help in that regard. Officers have an ongoing requirement to train as well. So that's a sort of a summary of the report, Chairman. And it's really just for the committee to note the contents of the report. Thank you.
Okay, I've got down here to say, do members have any questions? But it was, as Mrs. Pink just said, a report to note. If you do have any questions on any of that, then you can always ask Mrs. Pink at any time. Councillor Nicholls and Councillor Boutard want to come forward with a question.
Thank you. Very straightforward question. Speed of major developments. I presume where the applicant and yourselves agree to a deferral of the date, that doesn't count as a breach.
That's correct, yes, Chairman.
Councillor Boutard.
Thank you, Chair. First of all, I think members and officers, we could all congratulate ourselves for having improvement over the years, and now for the majors and all majors, and of the also the quality of decision making has better than previously. I have one question. The question is, well, it's no question, but first of all, I must say, since I've been elected, I have not seen a single reference made to Equalities Act in any meeting of this council. And today we have made a reference to Equality Act 2010. I'm very pleased to see that. But what I'm going to say is, this is just what you have acknowledged. There have been 10 years for this act to be in place. And today we have made acknowledgement to that act. What officers need to do is, every application, there should be impact assessment done. Majority of our applications have no impact, but there should be a reference in the report that the officers present that there is a no impact, or there is impact on how they are mitigating. And that should be a part of every decision-making report presented to us. And I recommend and I suggest.
It is, Councillor Boutard. I think Mrs. Fink said at the beginning of this that we will be doing that equality impact check for every development that comes forward.
Sorry.
Caroline, do you want to add to that?
Yeah.
And I recommend that the officers, they do go through the Equality Act training.
They will
be able to respect. Thank you.
Thank you. It was just to point out, obviously, as you know, the statutory role of the monitoring officer is charged with ensuring lawfulness of decisions of the council. As Mrs. Spinks referred at the start of the meeting, that officers always considered equality and human rights legislation in drafting any planning report. There was a statutory requirement to do so. If that was done, but that wasn't expressly referred to in the reports, that's what we're saying, that we've changed the way that the reports are actually drafted, so we're going to expressly refer to them now. We did that anyway. We have to risk assess any decision of the council has to take into consideration the council's equality duty in everything that we do. So enforcement activity, if you're going to issue an enforcement notice for an entire garden, for example, the steps that you'd be requiring would be potentially different from a young, fit, able person to somebody who's less mobile, that you'd be giving them a longer compliance period. So that's already always been considered. Just now we're going to expressly refer to those points in reports.
Okay, thank you. So that should cover your point.
Yes, I mean, the consideration has been made, but the members need also be told that, because it is at the end of the day, members are responsible, not the officers, if we are non-compliant with the act. So it has to be told to members, it has to be part of the report that yes, it has been done and carried out with the due regards. Thank you.
Right, I mean, I'll leave that, the responsibility issue. I think councillors are no longer, as it were, responsible for decisions that they make, where they used to be in the old days responsible. Yes, surcharge has been abolished, so our, as it were, responsibility no longer applies as it did in the past. But talking about monitoring officers, I haven't got any urgent items per se, but Mr. Graham is retiring, I think it's tomorrow. He's leaving here to go to Reading. He's retiring to Reading. Mr. Graham has moved off to a more senior role, I think, in Reading. And he's served this committee for quite some time. And so what I would like to do is to have my personal thanks to Michael recorded. And I don't know if you'd like to move that for the committee to their thanks.
I'm happy to move that.
Yeah. Okay, council side.
I'm happy to thank them.
So is that agreed?
Yes.
We put our thanks to Michael on record. Right. Thank you very much, Jill, for getting that. So, Councillor Islam.
Yeah. Can I get this clarification on the item 4, please? What was the vote again? Vote on item 4.
It was 6-5.
6-5. Are we 12 of us there in the council? So if somebody didn't vote then?
Yes. No, somebody didn't vote.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't ask for abstentions because they don't mean anything, so it's just those for and those against. There's just simple majority is all you need on that. So as I say, there are no other urgent items tonight, so thank you very much for your attendance, members. I declare the meeting closed.
Not too bad.
Quite long.